We learn that Shabbos before an event gives bracha, gives blessing to the event. Shabbos after the event elevates the event. So that's the whole week we live. Jewish festivals are not just that particular day.
It's before, it's the after.
So it's the Tu B'Shvat week, let's say.
Correct. That's right.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone, to another JP episode. This episode is sponsored by an anonymous donor, Le'ilui Nishmas, for the soul of Yaakov Levitin, Yaakov ben Tzvi Halevi, Hashem Yikum Domoy. Whoever wants to sponsor a JP episode, please email us. The email will be in the show notes. How are you doing?
Doing well. Term has started. We're pumping away.
We are pumping away. We had a nice session last night talking about questions and answers to do with the Bondi terrorist attack. That seemed to have gone down well.
Yeah, you know, painful subjects, but I think it was necessary and inspiring.
Yeah, I think for me it highlighted like the importance of people asking questions. People wanted to ask questions, and I think questions are good.
Yeah.
But questions need to be explored, to be answered, and sometimes need to be highlighted that we don't really know an answer, and that's okay too.
That's right.
So that was quite good. Before you get into today's topic, just wherever you're watching, please subscribe or rate it, leave a good rating, and just enjoy.
And spread it around. Share it with others.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're recording this on the 15th day of Shvat.
Tu B'Shvat.
Tu B'Shvat. Ah. Although you may be listening to it after that, but that's okay. So whatever happens in the same week is also is all connected.
That's right. We know that... We learn that Shabbos before an event gives bracha, gives blessing to the event. Shabbos after the event elevates the event. So whole week we live. Jewish festivals are not just that particular day.
It's before, it's the after.
So it's the Tu B'Shvat week, let's say.
Correct. That's right. Tu B'Shvat, for those that don't know, is the new year for trees, Rosh Hashanah L'Ilonos, which now is not the time to get into the technical halachic explanation of that. Suffice it to say that in ancient, or actually even today, there were different obligations to do with the land and trees and fruits and tithes and different things they had to give. And the way that was measured and started and ended the year was the 15th day of Shvat. It has to do with when the trees grow and blossom and all of that. These days, it's more celebrated as a more spiritual day, the spiritual significance of it. There's a custom actually to eat fruit. But obviously, the purpose of that is to learn lessons from trees, from fruit. The human being is compared to a tree, as the verse tells us, "Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh." So I thought we would spend a session talking about one of the most, I think, fundamental lessons we can learn from trees, and that is the concept of growth. We all grow physically. That's just happens with life. We're born a baby, and then we just grow up. We don't all grow emotionally and spiritually. Some people get stuck at a certain age, like they have the maturity of a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old. But really what should happen is we should be growing spiritually together with our physical growth, with the age number, as is an expression that the age doesn't go according to the passport. The real age of a person has to do with your spiritual age. So I wanted to talk about what are the biggest obstacles to growth. We all want to grow, but it's difficult. It's not easy. And specifically, the lessons we can learn from trees and fruit or fruit trees regarding growth. So I want to just sort of name certain things that come to my mind, and you can try and elaborate, and we'll see where we go with this. Tell me a lesson about growth that we can learn from the idea that when you plant a tree, the very first thing you need to do is put a seed in the ground, number one. And we're taught that the seed needs to disappear before there's growth. What's the lesson there for our personal growth?
So I'm going to take you a step before that. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So something I just learned yesterday, and I repeated this morning in a shir, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe mentions. So we plant a tree in the ground, earth, correct? And there's many lessons of that in itself, because the earth contains potential for growth. The earth contains what we call koach hatzomeach, the power, the nutrients, the chemicals. I don't know what it is. I'm not I'm not a botanist, but it contains many things that activate and
allow for growth. Yeah.
And allow the growth, right? First lesson is that we all have that. We are the earth. We are our own earth. In other words, we have potential to grow.
Yeah.
We desire to grow. The word for earth in Hebrew is eretz. Eretz comes from the word ratzon.
Yeah.
It's a land. Ratzon means to want. We do, intrinsically, we all want to grow. But how do we grow? Before we get to the decomposition, I think that's the way to say it, of the seed, when it decomposes, before we get to that, we plant a tree in the earth. But we don't just plant a tree in the earth. When you plant a tree particularly, actually, you have to plow the earth first.
Mm.
What is plowing the earth? And he says a beautiful thing. The plowing the earth means to shake up your comfort zone.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it is basically, right? In other words, one of the biggest obstacles to growth is being comfortable. I'm okay with who I am.
Mm.
Now, we know that we always associate guilt with something negative. We don't want people to feel bad about themselves. We shouldn't beat ourselves up, which is all true and all wonderful. But actually, from time to time, we do need to. If you're comfortable with who you are, you're never going to grow. So there are times that you need to, you know, do this. You don't do this all the time. You don't do this during the growth process. But when it's time to grow, every so often when you want to have a new day or a new month or a new year, actually you need to go through a process that you plow the field before you plant. You shake yourself up a little bit. He even quotes over there the verse from Psalms, which says, Lev Nishbar Venitke, that God doesn't despise, God welcomes a broken heart. Now, it's not a broken heart in the grief sense,
yeah,
or depression or sadness or grief or despondency. It means a feeling of deep discomfort which creates an urgency to grow,
yeah,
like I need to change. So that's
step one.
First step one. Then you plant a seed and the seed decomposes. Because real growth can only happen when you let go of your previous paradigm completely.
Mm.
We have a concept in Hasidic philosophy that from one thing to become another thing, you need nothingness in the middle. Why? Because, you know, actually, it's a bit not part of the calendar right now, because it's 2 months to go. I don't make anyone nervous, but it's 2 months to Pesach.
Exactly 2 months. Actually.
Exactly, yeah. 2 months, yes, Pesach, exactly. But with Pesach, we have this idea where we associate Pesach with jumping. Why jumping?
That's the word Pesach actually means.
Yeah, the word Pesach means to jump.
Yeah.
What's the significance of jumping? Because walking is also a form of growth, but they say that when you walk, because you're moving, right? You're moving from point A to point B. But when you walk, whenever you put your foot forward, your other foot is still stuck in where you were. You never really leave who you are, right? Now, it's also good growth. I mean, just progressing in things that you're comfortable with. You like doing kindness, you do more kindness. You like to study, you do more study, whatever. But that's all good. But once in a while, we have this experience of real growth, Pesach growth, which is jumping. Jumping means both your feet go off the ground. You jump. In other words, you completely leave who you are.
But is that a good idea? Like, let's say if what I am has good things to it also. I mean, everyone has talents. Everyone has their personality. Does it mean I have to become a totally different type of person? You know, if I was very outgoing, I should become more of an introvert. I should totally fundamentally change myself.
It means that you leave defining yourself of what you are. In other words,
right,
you surrender and say, I am open to anything. I'm open to, obviously in a Jewish context, it means surrender to God. And I'm saying, I know I'm an introvert, but if God wants me to be extrovert, I will be. And if the situation calls for it, I will be. But that takes a certain, I'm going to think completely differently. Not that I'm going to give up who I am. Everyone is a unique individual. But there needs to be a sort of phase. I mean, after the tree starts to grow, it grows from the potential that's in the seed. That's right. The seed doesn't disappear.
Mm.
But it surrenders. It becomes part of the growth process and has no independent entity. And that's when it can really start growing.
It's beautiful. Now, we call it the Rosh Hashanah of trees, but the emphasis seems to be on fruit. What's the connection between specifically fruit and growth?
So that's a beautiful one. I think you're jumping ahead a few steps with it. There's a couple.
We'll go backwards.
We'll go backwards. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Fruit tree in Torah has a very, very special significance. In fact, we are taught, we just learned it in the daily Rambam, actually. Those who study daily Rambam, which today is the last day of the cycle,
yeah,
tomorrow starts a new cycle. But we learned this idea that when Jews go out to war, they're not allowed to destroy a fruit tree.
Yeah.
It's not an environmentalist thing, because they can destroy other trees if they need to. But
right.
but it's you can't destroy a fruit tree. Why is that so important? Because the true growth actually means, this is so fundamental in Judaism, growth cannot be personalized. It cannot be a personal issue. I grow. I don't care about the rest of the world. I don't care about making other people grow. I'm growing myself. That's not a true tree. A real tree is a tree that produces fruit. Number one, fruit within myself produces result, it's not a theoretical growth, it produces actual results. But also, it produces fruit as in the sense of other people.
Right.
I inspire other people to grow. I create a culture of growth. I encourage people to grow. Those around me, those in my circle of influence, those that I know, to become inspiring people, not just growing people.
Yeah. Perhaps also we can say sort of another idea on fruit. A little bit the other side of the coin, actually, of the seed disappearing. Not negating it, but it's on the other side of the coin. Fruit is the idea of enjoyment, right? That's why, like, you eat fruit for dessert. Fruit is not a staple food. It's sort of the extra food. And I think in order to really grow in our Judaism, we need to develop an enjoyment and a passion in our Judaism. It doesn't mean we only do what we enjoy. Of course, going back to the seed idea, we have to be ready to go out of ourselves. But step two is we have to then develop a passion. If you just do things out of, because I have to, because that's the way I was taught, and out of rote, you're not going to grow. I mean, it's going to do it because you have to do it, and you'll be yoitza, as we call it. You know, you just do it to fulfill your obligation.
Correct.
Passion and excitement and simcha is very, very important.
What you're saying is we prepare to do anything even if we don't like it.
Yeah.
Because we're surrendering to God's will, so to speak, and healthy surrender, I'm talking about, because we understand we're connected with something far beyond ourselves. But then the things that we're supposed to do, we have to learn to enjoy them.
Yeah.
Learn to have a joy in doing them, in understanding them as much as we can, and really live it.
And even the surrender itself needs to be done out of joy.
Correct.
You know, even though it's good, you're going beyond yourself, but you realize that you're going beyond yourself to something much higher than yourself.
People are scared of the word surrender, by the way.
Yeah. Like I'm saying, sometimes people have the image of someone like being very like depressed and sort of, you know.
So it's seen as a weakness almost.
Yeah, that's right.
But surrender is actually in the Jewish context is the greatest strength, because you're surrendering to something that is infinite, that is far beyond you. You're amalgamating yourself into something, so to speak, much higher than yourself.
Joy can actually only really come when you surrender.
Correct.
True joy.
Because that's when the real happiness comes about. Yeah. Broadness, expansion. Expansion means I don't get defined, I don't get locked into who I am. I'm ready to surrender to something far greater than me.
Yeah. In order for a tree to really survive, for sure to endure, it has to have strong roots. It's a very important part of the tree. Most of the roots actually we don't even see.
Correct.
Most of it's under the ground. What does that teach us about growth?
So you're right. So because roots are values and roots are faith. Right? We're taught that the roots of the human tree, the spiritual tree, is emunah. So emunah is a foundational. In other words, roots represent foundational concepts. Things you don't talk about the whole day. They're there in the background, and they are the foundation to inspire how you live. Living is the tree, but what inspires your growth, what inspires your living, what inspires your conduct are those strong, strong convictions. First and foremost, the idea of emunah, faith. That you really believe in God. You make your life a God-centered life. Just generally, your whole belief in God, belief in prayer, belief in Torah Mitzvot, all those things, the belief in this idea, the convictions, are what inspires everything else.
Yeah.
They might not have, not everyone has a conviction, talks about it all day, because it's a given. It's just part of who you are. It's part of under the ground, but it's there. And the stronger the roots, the greater the tree. Obviously. Yeah. So yeah.
So something just came to me. I don't know if what I'm about to say is right or true, but you can tell me. There are different types of fruits. Some fruits we are told in Jewish teachings, stay on the tree a whole year, no matter what the season. For example, what comes to mind is the etrog, right, which says grows from each season. I think we may have spoken about that in the past. Then there are other fruits that are seasonal, that sometimes are on the tree, sometimes are not on the tree. So maybe, you can tell me what you think, that's also a lesson in growth in the sense that there are certain things that have to be sort of set in stone, this is who I am, consistent. But part of growth is also realizing that it's going to be a winter. And sometimes growth is not, what's what I'm looking for? It's not linear. No, it's not like going up and you like never go down. Growth is you go up, sometimes we fail, we get back up again, the fruits disappear, there's a winter, then there's an autumn, then there's a spring.
I think that's beautiful. So you have certain, at least the convictions, the values, the commitments have to be constant
yeah.
and be able to weather and grow from all types of seasons, but you're right. If you don't, sometimes the fruit's not working so well, and sometimes it's okay, but there'll be a better season coming up.
That's right.
And we'll try again, and we'll be able to be nourished and do it much better in the appropriate season. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
And how about the idea that very rarely, or maybe even never, especially when it comes to trees, do you have one fruit growing? It's an interesting thing. Like, they grow, there's like many fruit growing on a tree. Maybe that also tells us that in order to grow, you can't do it alone. You have to grow with other people. Community, togetherness is very important.
Connection, talking, discussing, sharing.
All learning from other people.
Yeah, learning from other people.
Yeah. What else do you think we can learn from a tree?
Well, water. I think you spoke before about water, watering the tree.
Mm.
We know that in Judaism, water is Torah learning. You can't grow without knowledge.
Yeah.
There are things beyond knowledge, like faith and conviction, but that cannot be nurtured or inspire growth unless we learn. It's fundamental to Jewish eternity and survival on a communal level, but it's also curriculum on an individual level. Real growth must have learning. Learning doesn't create the whole growth. You have to implement the learning. But the Talmud talks about the tree being the person, and it talks about its association with Torah learning.
Yeah.
Right? It was a Torah scholar, a good tree, a fruit-bearing tree. One that can inspire good feelings, good emotions, and so on. But needs a lot of water. We need a lot of water. We need a lot of Torah learning.
Yeah.
It also needs sunlight. I think sunlight is warmth. That joy, is that warmth, that positivity, the belief that we can do it, not to be dark, not to be sad.
Yeah. I think in terms of the water, you know, not every analogy is 100%, right? So when it comes to the tree, you have to be careful not to put too much water. When it comes to growth, you don't have to worry. If you learn too much, there's no such thing as learning too much.
Although maybe bring it into the analogy, the only time maybe there is when we use Torah learning as an excuse not to inspire someone else.
Right.
Like, I don't have time to inspire other people or teach other people. I'm too busy learning myself. Maybe that's a time that it's over-ordering.
That's right.
But you're right. That generally speaking, you can never overlearn.
Which leads us to the Bina term. Come and water your tree. Come to Bina or online, wherever you are. Listen, learn, and let's grow. Let's grow together.
Let's do it.
Happy Tu B'Shvat, everyone.
All the best.